Hello, brother. I'm Grace.
Hello, brother. I'm Stephanie.
And this is You're Invited In, our series of minisodes. And Stephanie, tell our listeners what our minisode is about this week.
Today it is our first ever Taylor Swift minisode. Cheers from all around. Obviously, we're Swifties.
I think we've talked about it on mic before. I think it's come up. We've had some messages of people wanting us to do Taylor Swift minisodes and like twist our arm.
We talk about Taylor Swift for hours on our own. If the microphone's in front of me, great. And so the goal today, we are going to put all of our favorite Vampire Diaries characters in Taylor Swift eras. Which album is their album?
Yes.
I'm sure we each have our own opinions. I know I have one that you will not agree with for sure.
I'm curious. I have a couple that I could be convinced of, but I have some that I feel pretty confident in.
Me as well. But let's start, as we did with our PLL episode, let's give you our credentials.
Yes.
So we have been Swifties since the beginning. Her first album came out when we were in like eighth or ninth grade. That is our close personal friend, our sister.
We were really into watching music videos at the time in middle and high school. That was kind of a 2000s activity, I think.
Yeah.
I do remember when I saw the Her Song music video the first time, I said, I like her.
Yeah, something shifted in me. I remember watching the I'm Only Me When I'm With You music video. That's for real heads who were watching that music video, because that was just her little footage with her friends.
Yeah, it was cute. So we've been longtime Swifties. We did indeed go to the Eras tour. Stephanie went to one, I went to two. Stephanie, tell them what your surprise songs were.
I was going to say, we have to say our surprise songs. My surprise songs were I Wish You Would and The Lakes. And my friend who I went with is the number one, The Lakes stan. We had a great time. We were in Chicago. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
My surprise songs, I went to LA and my first show, my surprise songs were Death by a Thousand Cuts and You're on Your Own, Kid.
She just loves to say it. She just loves to say it.
One thing you need to know about me, Death by a Thousand Cuts was like my dream surprise song. And she had played it, of course, in Arlington, but messed up the bridge. So we knew it was eligible to be repeated. And so after she played Death by a Thousand Cuts, I was like, I don't care what she plays on that piano. It could be anything and I'll be fine. It could be Girl at Home and I'll be okay. But then she played You're on Your Own, Kid, which, like, in retrospect, we were the third night she was filming. So, like, of course she was going to sing You're on Your Own, Kid. She hadn't sung it yet, but that was incredible. And then the second night I went the next show after, and I got Dress and Exile. Another great pair.
Oh, it made me mad because You're on Your Own, Kid. That song, the first probably month that I listened to that song, I cried every time, and I connect to it greatly.
But I got it for my surprise song, so it's mine now.
You know, it all works out, but I Wish You Would is my song.
Good, no one else wants it.
Everybody wants it,
I'm
please.
just kidding. It's a good song. It's a good song.
I mean, my dream surprise song was Dear Reader, and I was never getting that.
Yeah. I tried really hard to get tickets to the 8-9 show because obviously it was rightfully suspected that she was going to announce 1989 at that show. I couldn't get the tickets. And the surprise songs that night were New Romantics and New Year's Day, two of my other favorites. So I was sad not to go to those. But you know what? I got Death by a Thousand Cuts, You're on Your Own, Kid, Dress, and Exile. I can't complain about shit.
So we're big fans. We love our Taylor Swift. I do want to start, you know, since we're assigning each character an era, an album, I want us to each name our top five just so we clear our biases out of the way, because this will bias how I pick this, I believe.
Just so you all know, like, where we're coming from with these.
Yeah. And at the time of this recording, it's been just over a week since the Tortured Poets Quartet was released. We love it. It's amazing. These rankings may be a little in flux still, but I figure top five pretty much covers our bases.
They're always in flux, but you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, so I can go first.
Please do.
The order of these is not solid, especially at the top, but I'll say Tortured Poets Department is in my top five. Midnights, Speak Now, Reputation, and Fearless.
Interesting top five. My top five is a little difficult for me. My top three, I'm very solid in. And at this point, it is in this order, but they can move, I think. Tortured Poets Department, 1989, and Lover. That's right. I'm a Lover stan. You're never going to get me to hate that album.
People love Lover. You're not alone in that.
Some people hate it, though. Some people are haters. And then the other two spots in my top five, it's very in flux. Here's the thing. So I have like basically tiers in my ranking. My top tier is those top three. My next tier is four albums or five. I don't know.
We'll pick two.
If I have to pick right at this moment, it's probably going to be Red and Fearless. The
Okay.
other ones that are in that area are Midnight's Reputation and Evermore. So depending on those, depending on how I feel that day. And then I have Folklore rated low in my rankings, which I know, you know, some of you will call for a hit on me.
As do I overall. I mean, look, I love Folklore. There is no such thing as a bad Taylor Swift album. There are just ones that I connect to more than others.
But those are our biases. That's where we stand.
that may color some of this.
Yeah.
Let's start with our main character herself, Elena Gilbert. I actually feel pretty confident in my choice for her. I can go first if you want.
Please do.
I'm going to say 1989.
I disagree. I think for Elena, I would say Fearless.
I think that's a fair one to bring up.
And I think I have a hot take that I would like to bring up at the beginning of this.
Sure.
I think when people are like putting people in different albums, I think there's a tendency to conflate Fearless and Speak Now, both as like fairy tale minded, mm-hmm. which I think is a simplification of both of them. But I think then because people are like fairy tale minded, people will always put the brunette with Speak Now and the blonde with Fearless because blonde gold. But I think where they differentiate is Speak Now has this like fairy tale thing, but it's very much like fairy tales disillusioned. There's an anger to Speak Now, whereas Fearless has a sadness. Like, I know things don't always work out, but that's what makes the happier times better.
Yeah.
So when you look at songs like Breathe or White Horse, you have that kind of sadness that Elena feels. But at the end of the day, it's very hopeful. And I think that's why I connect Elena to Fearless. I'd love to hear your 1989.
Because I think at the end of the day, you can say many things about Elena Gilbert, but you cannot say she isn't an optimist. I'm in the same place with you in Fearless for that reason. But I think why 1989 stands out is because it's this like confidence in coming into who you are, while also a hopefulness for love and a hopefulness for like, this world is opening up for me. I have love and there's been pain, but I'm getting through it. Like, I think Clean is such an Elena Gilbert song. I think This Love is such an Elena Gilbert song. Like, that's why it sticks out to me.
I mean, This Love is such a Delana song. Mm-hmm. There's a great YouTube edit of Delana to This Love, by the way.
And once I made the connection of Delana to This Love, I started listening to This Love way more often. But so I just think there's a little bit of like a grown-up carefreeness that you get with 1989, while also this like, you know, you have songs like Blank Space that are very aware of who you are and aware of what you're doing. Where I think Fearless is definitely Elena in high school and like getting through pain. I think of also songs like The Other Side of the Door.
Yeah.
Come In with the Rain, like are so Elena.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 1989 is where she ends with much more confidence.
I don't know that I agree. I think of something like Blank Space, Style, like it has this awareness of perception that I don't think Elena is really concerned with. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think there are parts of her, like her No Humanity arc, where she's like aware that she could be a bitch and leans into it. And I think very much of 1989 in some ways, and I'll get to this later as we get to her, as like 1989 is when Elena and Rebecca are Elena Humanity off and they're driving together. That's their album on that road trip.
Oh, yes.
But for different reasons for each of them.
I do think there's definitely some 1989 aspects, and I hear that argument. I think it's the next best one. But I do think, for me, Fearless is Elena.
I think Fearless is the next best one to me for Elena. I have a point I will get to with Fearless later.
Interesting.
Trust on that.
So stay tuned.
So watch this space.
Okay, who do we want to go to next?
Damon.
Damon, to me, it's so easy.
I have an easy guess too, so I want to hear what yours is.
Reputation.
That is my second choice for him. I think Damon is a Speak Now boy.
I see where you're getting Speak Now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that at the end of the day,
he's a lover.
At the end of the day, he's a lover boy. He wants to be in love. And I think Speak Now is the music of someone much more disillusioned. Whereas Damon, I feel, even in his worst days, he always believes in like the power of love. And that is something he puts behind this like wall, but he's always, he loves her. He can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, like Reputation is him, because you think about like Getaway Car, you think about Don't Blame Me and I Did Something Bad, but also like New Year's Day, where he's like, I know I can make mistakes and I'm not perfect, but like, I will be there for you. I will not leave. Even if you fake your death to get away from me, I want your midnights, bitch.
I do think songs like New Year's Day are so Damon. The reason, and I wanted to name my biases, because a lot of the reason me putting Damon Speak Now is because I am a Speak Now bitch down, okay?
Yeah.
I have a Speak Now blanket. I have a Speak Now poster. I have Speak Now playing cards. Like, I love Speak Now.
And you all should know that I'm a red bitch. But the thing about red, like, red's my album. But I love it for vibe. But it is, to me, like, easily her worst album. It's just the least cohesive. But I'm a red bitch down.
Part of being a speak now bitch is that is for the daydreamers. That is for the people who live in their own mind when they need to.
Yeah.
I think of Damon like Story of Us, Sparks Fly, Castles Crumbling, when he knows he messed up. Like, I just think Urs, I think, is such a Damon, like such a Delana song. It's Damon's view of Delana. People throw rocks at things that shine. It's like, no, they throw rocks at you because you killed her brother. But like,
well, that's why I think it's more Damon is not kind enough to himself to relate to speak now. I think he's a lot harder on himself the way Reputation is. Like, you can be my jailer, Burton to this tailor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
I never trust a narcissist, but they love me. Well, no one loves him, but
I think Damon is very much a speak now Reputation combo. So I can see the argument for that, because at the end of the day, Damon believes in love, is scared of not staying in love, and wants this ideal love, but knows that he may not deserve it all the time, but still, hope against hope, wants that love. And I think that falls in both Speak Now and Reputation, but I lean the Speak Now side.
Sure, and I lean the Reputation side.
Let's move on to Stefan. I'm sure you have a strong feeling about this.
Stefan is tricky.
I had an issue picking one for him.
I have a few that I feel fit him for different reasons. I actually have three.
I have two that I feel like make the most sense. And the third one that I would consider, I am certain you'll bring up. So you name your three.
My three, and this is in order of how much I think is the character. Lover, Midnights, Speak Now.
I would not have given him Speak Now. This is what I have for him. And this is in order. Red, Midnights, Lover.
I was not going to give him Speak Now, but in our last few, we were talking about Speak Now. And I think there is this like aspect of Speak Now that is like this deep hurt, but still this like hopefulness that I think captures some of Stefan. But I'm more inclined to put him with Lover or Midnights, because Lover, here's what I need you guys to know. If any of you are talented editors, I need you to make a Stefan Salvatore edit to The Archer. The Archer is Stefan's song. Down, bitch.
And we love The Archer. We love The Archer. It's one of my top five songs.
The Archer is so Stefan coded. I've been the Archer when he, you know, pursues Elena. I've been the prey when he pursues Catherine. Who could ever leave me, but who could stay?
Yep.
And I think what Lover, I mean, and again, Lover's one of my top albums, which, you know, it'll come up again. I'll just say that.
Oh, I'm sure.
What I think is interesting about Lover is the way it is like really the anxiety and these like ugly things of love put in this like sweet package. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, Stefan is a lover. He's a hopeless romantic. Mm-hmm. All he wanted to do was love Elena.
Well, and part of being a hopeless romantic is that anxiety of like, will anyone ever live up to what I expect from love? And that's really what Lover is about.
Yes. And there's a lot of like simplicity in Lover that I think is really good for Stefan. But actually, now as I'm thinking about it, I might be more inclined to put him with Midnights.
Yeah, see, Midnights, I didn't think of him right away. But as I thought about Stefan as a character, I was like, he is kind of a Midnights guy.
I mean, he's kept up at night by things.
It's regret. It's guilt.
And Dear Reader is so Stefan. Never take advice from someone who's falling apart. Everyone wants advice from him all the time. And he knows he shouldn't be giving it. But even like you look at when Stefan has his confident moments, when he's, you know, when his humanity's off, mama, that's Bejeweled.
His humanity switch lets him Bejeweled.
Yeah. And he literally said, I can still make the whole place shimmer.
With blood.
With blood. I think it's really a Midnight's Lover hybrid, because I think there's like anxiety of love that like Midnight's doesn't hit some of those love boxes.
Labyrinth.
Yeah, Labyrinth, sure. Maybe more Midnights, as I'm talking about. I think I lean more Midnights for Stefan. That he's just always, like, considering his life.
He's always looking back and trying to learn lessons from what he's gone through.
Yes. And I'll look directly at the sun, but never in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-hero, so him. Maroon is so him.
The Great War is so him.
I mean, actually, he's such a Midnights boy. Mastermind is so him.
Mm-hmm. As you're talking about this, I do think Midnights is winning out, but I will make my case for Red.
I'd like to hear it, because I don't agree with that at all, but I'd love to hear your case.
Because I think Red, in many ways, represents the highs and lows of human emotion. You have, like, I'm happy, you're done, I'm done with you, with We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. We have, like, All Too Well, of course, it's the classic. But there are, like, these, like, very fun moments, and then, like, oh, it's the moment I knew. Oh, But then it is still hopeful with Begin Again. And so I think that up and down of it is kind of Stefan over the course of his life. But I do think Midnights is really his, like, characterization.
Yes. You know, I was ready to argue for Lover, but he's really Midnight's boy at the end of the day.
Let's jump to Caroline. And I have a strong opinion about this, and I don't think you're going to agree with me.
I have a strong opinion about this, and I don't think you're going to agree with me.
Caroline is fearless.
Couldn't be more wrong. Caroline's Lover, easily.
Don't get me wrong. I think Lover's in the mix, but she is a fearless girl.
Tell me why. That's a song from Fearless.
I think Fearless is a lot of the things you said. And after you just said they always give the blonde Fearless, now it's like, oh, now it looks like I just came up with this.
Exactly.
But trust me, as someone who, like, Fearless is one of my favorite albums. So many of my favorite Taylor Swift songs are on Fearless. Like, I'm a Bye Bye Baby stan, okay?
The one
Bye Bye Baby stan. But I just think Caroline has this, like, young, not naivety, but, like, hope for the world that I think Fearless represents, but also this, like, understanding of, like, hurt and, like, your first heartbreak. Every heartbreak Caroline takes so heavy because she loves, like, she is so guarded. And I think Fearless is about, like, what happens when your guard is pierced, like, what happens when your armor is hit, which I think you're going to make that same argument for Lover. But I think there's a lot of, like, empowerment on Fearless as well. I think Tell Me Why, You're Not Sorry, like, standing up for yourself and learning, like, who you are and what you deserve. And I think so much of Caroline's story through the show is, you know, she's this just teen girl in the beginning who we've been standing since the beginning, but people make that argument. And then she has to teach herself how to be strong, and she has to learn how to break down these walls. And I think Fearless is about, like, opening yourself up to pain in the hope that the good will come back.
I disagree for a number of reasons.
Okay, I thought I gagged you.
No. Number one, I don't super agree with that thesis of Fearless. I think Fearless is, like, I'm ready for pain, almost romanticizing the pain. I also disagree that when we meet Caroline, she's, like, this happy-go-lucky person.
I think that's her external, like, what is showing. I don't think that's who she is.
Sure. But you said, I think, you know, like, even early on, even in the pilot, we hear from Caroline, like, no one ever fucking picks me. Everyone always picks Elena. Mm-hmm. There's, from the beginning, this feeling of, like, second best and this anxiety. But beyond just that, I want to name out a couple songs that are so Caroline. The Man. You know the bitch loves The Man.
And Me Too.
The Archer. Dare I say, London Boy.
You can say it.
Soon You'll Get Better, Bitch.
Okay, The Best Day is on Fearless, though. So we each have a mom song here.
Anyway, I just think, to me, the thesis of Lover is, you know, at the end of Daylight, she says, I want to be defined by the things I love, not the things I hate, not the things I'm afraid of. And I think that is Caroline, like, with the anxieties, with everything else going on, despite her heart being broken and despite everything with her that she wants to change, her insecurities, her control freak nature, she works through those, and she is open about herself, and she is just, she's working on it. To me, she's so Lover. I think there's a subliminal thing with Blondes and Fearless. That's my hot take.
I disagree with that, but I do agree with you that the anxiety part of Caroline is not represented on Fearless.
Yeah.
I think that's true. And I think two of the most Caroline songs in Taylor Swift's discography are This Is Me Trying and Mirrorball.
That's true.
Because she is so ahead of the curve. The curve became a sphere.
Yeah.
She is, you know, on her highest tiptoes. But I hesitate to put her in Folklore because I don't think she's, like, much as she has those feelings of anxiety and they do bog her down, like, she's not defined by those, as you said, with the, you know, the end of Daylight. I see the Lover arguments. I just think there are so many Fearless songs that, like, I feel like Forever and Always is, like, so Caroline, like, she's going to fight back every time.
I also think another song from Lover I'll Name that is so Caroline, All the Girls You've Loved Before.
Yeah.
Mama, that's Steriline. I feel as though Lover balances these anxieties of Folklore, because I do think that, like, Mirrorball, This Is Me Trying, so Caroline songs, but I don't put her into Folklore because, to me, Folklore is, like, someone who withdraws from the world and feels those things.
Yes.
Lover is someone who puts on a performance and is still dealing with those things.
Yes. I don't think she is Folklore, but I think I have to bring those songs up in any Caroline Forbes conversation.
I think you're right. But I think she's so Lover.
I don't think you're incorrect. I just like Fearless more for her.
Yeah, I think you're incorrect. So
then I think you're incorrect.
Okay, doesn't matter.
The next one we'll talk about is Bonnie. I think Bonnie is a Midnight's girl.
Bonnie's tough for me.
She's tough.
I would say Midnight's is a good one. I have her written down as Red or Evermore or Tortured Poets Department. I can't decide.
I did think about Tortured Poets Department for her because I think Who's Afraid of Little Old Me is so Bonnie.
Yes.
The reason I stick with Midnight's is because, like Stefan, she is constantly trying to learn from her experiences, regret what happened, change what happened. But then I think you also think of songs like Sweet Nothing, where she's just too soft for all of it. Like, she's been fighting and people don't support her. You're on your own, kid is so Bonnie.
That's true.
I think Midnight's, because of the way she is a very reflective, introspective person.
Okay.
I can see the Evermore thoughts, though. I didn't really think about Evermore for her.
Now that I'm thinking on it, I'm thinking more of Evermore. Right Where You Left Me. So Bonnie.
It's Time to Go.
Yes.
Cowboy Like Me, honestly, for Bonanzo.
Long Story Short, Willow. I think I'm singing with Evermore because I think she feels these emotions really deeply. And I think, I mean, Evermore and Folklore often get conflated. To me, it's hard to put anyone in Folklore because I feel like the songs vary in storytelling so much on Folklore that it's more of the vibe of Folklore. Whereas Evermore is more, it feels more personal and it feels more, you know, I knew this pain wouldn't be for Evermore. It feels more hopeful than Folklore does. Like, there's a light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah.
And I think one thing about Bonnie is, like, she always feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, she's never quite ready to give up hope, even when she really, really wants to.
Yeah, even when she tries to give up hope, like, she just can't manage to let go of it.
Yeah. And I've just decided Willow is a Bonanzo song just now thinking about this.
And that's for me personally.
And honestly, Cowboy Like Me is kind of a Bonanzo song too.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Not Gold Rush, because ain't nobody want his ass.
I do think Evermore is a good read for her.
I see the Midnight's read too. Bonnie's a tricky character because
I think she kind of has to have both those albums, honestly.
She has to have this like deep pain because she goes through so much pain, which is why I feel this like Red thing, but I feel like her pain is grander than Heartbreak.
Well, I think Evermore is a good one too, because most of Bonnie's pain through the course of the show, she's had to shoulder alone.
Yes.
And very much like figure it out alone and have, you know, some people around, but I think that's why Evermore is a little different. Like Midnight's is alone in your room, like thinking about everything you've done, but Evermore is very much like thinking back on your life. I think Happiness, like moving on from things. Mercury.
It's worth mentioning Mercury.
I think Midnight's and Evermore together really make up a perfect Bonnie Bennett.
Yes. She's heard.
She's heard because she's complex. Let's jump, you know, we've already been talking about Bonanzo. Let's jump to Enzo. I think Enzo is so Tortured Poets Department because he never shuts up.
I really think he is. And I think what captures Enzo about Tortured Poets Department, and again, Tortured Poets Department is new. We're still like learning this album. But to me, what stands out about Tortured Poets Department is I'm like a stan of the title track, The One in the World.
People do love it. Not me so much, but
I saw one person tweet like, let's rank all of Taylor Swift's title tracks. And everyone said, we all know Tortured Poets Department is last.
You said, who said that?
What I think Tortured Poets Department captures about Enzo is this, on one level, Enzo is like, I am a tortured poet. And on another level, he's like, that's pretty stupid. I'm just a guy with an abandonment issue.
Yeah, like, it's not that serious. I'm fine.
Like, and he balances both of those. And I think, you know, he is like the type of guy who would own a typewriter. I think some things I never say, like, who uses typewriters anyway? Or, I mean, hello, down bad. Mama, that's Enzo. He's down bad all the time. He's down terrible.
Tortured Poets Department and Enzo, deep, obvious loneliness. It's like the world has been beating you down and you just are getting through it however you can. And like, now that I've lived through that, let's conduct a postmortem. What happened here? I still don't know.
The smallest man who ever lived, Dr. Whitmore and Lily.
Yeah.
Were you sent by someone who wanted me dead?
Fresh out the slammer.
Literally fresh out the slammer. I can fix him. No, really, I can.
I'm going to get you back is so him, because he cannot fucking decide what he wants to do.
Yes.
I hate it here.
I can do it with a broken heart. So High School is so him and Bonnie, actually.
Yes, actually. That's a good Bonanzo song. That's a good Bonanzo song.
The Bolter. One thing about him, he's bolting. I look in people's windows. Absolutely. When he was trying to be friends with everybody, he was looking in people's windows.
So Long London. My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. Like, the whole album is him.
The Albatross.
Yeah.
I am so obsessed with Fresh Out the Slammer for him. Also, So Long London when he gets on that ship.
When he dies and then gets on the ship.
I love you. It's ruining my life. He's so Tortured Poets Department. It's not even silly.
He's so Tortured Poets. It's a layup. I mean, and thank God this album came out before we said this, because otherwise I think we would have had trouble with him.
Yeah, he's so Tortured Poets. If we did not have Tortured Poets, I think I might put him in folklore.
Oh, yeah.
But we have Tortured Poets, so we don't even have to discuss that.
Yeah. Let's go to Alaric.
Alaric's so hard.
Alaric's hard. I think he's Evermore.
Okay. Tell me why.
Mostly vibe, if I'm honest with you.
Okay, you know what I think Rick is?
What?
I wrote this down and I wasn't sure about it, but I think I'm ready to commit to this. I think Rick is Red.
That, you know, that's fair, because he do be getting his heart broken.
Love is a ruthless game unless you play it good and right. I don't know. Rick's really tough because he's very...
He's not like as emotionally open as the others.
Yes, and he goes through a lot of loss and heartbreak, and he still does love, but cautiously. I mean, when we meet him, he's already dealing with Isabel. Like, he's got heartbreak, like, everywhere.
I think Rick is very tolerated with Isabel.
Sure.
Nobody, no crime when he's a serial killer. Except he leaves bodies everywhere.
And he does commit crimes.
I think songs like Coney Island and Evermore, where he's, like, mourning. And, you know, he goes through a lot of, you know, he mourns every girlfriend he's ever had. But he also mourns, like, his own life in different ways.
Yeah.
Like, when he becomes a vampire, when he tries to die instead of becoming a vampire, when he, like, dies, when he comes back, and then when he becomes human. Like, he has a lot of mourning in that case. And I think that is why, like, those songs, like Evermore and Coney Island, would stick out to me most with that.
I also will say, this is kind of a crazy one.
Okay.
So I was looking at Red, I wasn't really sure. And I do feel like the song Red is so big. Like, he just feels all these things and he has deep wounds.
I think Holy Ground is very Rick.
State of Grace is so Rick. But then I was thinking, I think we could make a case for Reputation.
Oh, okay.
I think you could also make a case for Rick for Speak Now. I'm actually more willing to do that than Reputation. What I look at Reputation and I see for him is, I mean, Rick does have this streak of like, I did something bad, don't blame me, like, look what you made me do. But he also has like Delicate and King of My Heart.
Who is King of My Heart about to him?
I don't know. Joe, and All at Once You Are the One I've Been Waiting For, King of My Heart, Body and Soul. I'm perfectly fine. I live on my own. I made up my mind. I'm better off being alone.
That is true. That is true.
For Reputation, I feel like it has to be someone who like loves really hard and will do like anything for the people they love. And I think that's Rick. I think I'm almost more. Yeah, I would say Reputation over Red for Rick. I think that's weird, but that's where I'm leaning.
That's interesting. I can see Red more than Reputation.
Sure.
I think I'm falling into the like Academia Fall vibes for Rick, which is part of why I picked Evermore, which makes it easier to go the Red route.
Yeah, I think you could also make a case for Tortured Poets Department for Rick.
It's hard because Tortured Poets, part of the reason it works for Enzo, and I think it doesn't work for Rick, is the humor in it.
Yeah.
Like, all love to Rick, he's not a funny guy. He doesn't need to be.
I mean, he has funny moments, but he takes himself very seriously.
Yeah, whereas Enzo, I think, can make jokes about himself. I mean, as soon as someone else makes a joke, then it hurts.
Which, that's so Tortured Poets of him, by the way.
He's so Michael Scott, like, trying to be like, oh, haha, I'm such a loser. And then he's like, too far, you know? Which, yeah. Alert just doesn't have that capability to, like, be open about that.
He's much more guarded.
Yeah, which is why Tortured Poets is hard for him. Because Tortured Poets, at the end of the day, is a vulnerability album.
Which is why I think Red is hard for him, too, because I don't know that he's quite vulnerable enough.
And Reputation is guarded in its way, because it is, like, the return after being beat down.
Or at least it projects a picture of being guarded. But also, I think what Reputation projects, especially in hindsight, is this, like, people are going to make their judgments about me, and they probably won't look deeper, so I'm going to project what I want them to think of me, which is toughness and strength. But really, I have a lot of other shit going on.
But at the end of the day, I'm a lover.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I just want to be loved. Yeah. I just want my wife to not be killed at the altar.
Yeah.
Is that so much to ask?
I just want my wife to live and stay with me.
Apparently, that's a tall order. Yeah.
Let's move to Jeremy. And I feel like this is an interesting take I'm going to lead here. But as we know, I'm a Jeremy stan.
Don't I know it.
More than pretty much anyone I've ever heard from. I think Jeremy's folklore.
Why is that?
Because I think he is a bit of a like dreamer, a bit of, you know, he's an artist.
Yeah.
Always in his own world, but he is like a fighter a little bit. And I think folklore is about like coming together and like understanding your wounds. And I think something like My Tears Ricochet, something like Cardigan is very him.
I don't really have a strong feeling on anything for Jeremy, to be completely honest.
He's a hard one, honestly.
Where I lean is Fearless, which I know I said that about Elena.
Fearless Gilberts.
Fearless has these like same
high school coming of age.
I can change the world. He has this like, you know, real optimism despite everything thrown at him.
Yeah.
But you know what, actually? I think you could make a case for Evermore for Jeremy too. I come back stronger than a 90s trend.
I wrote that down after we were talking about Evermore earlier, and I considered it.
Actually, I'm sticking with Evermore for Jeremy. If you look at, like, Closure, long story short.
Yeah. And then it works with him and Bonnie.
Yes, even though we don't ship that.
I don't ship it compared to Benenzo, but I'm not as against it as some. But again, I'm a Jeremy stan. See, I mostly put Folklore for Jeremy because I had just put Evermore for Lyric, so I was like, I can't really put Evermore twice in a row, but I do think they both make their point. I do think there are songs on Evermore like that are more him.
For me, the problem with putting anyone in Folklore is like we've got the Love Triangle, we've got the Last Great American Dynasty, we've got Epiphany, we've got Mad Woman. We've got these things that are all about different things that it's hard to connect to one character other than Vibe.
And I think Coney Island is another good one for Jeremy because he's always on a bench waiting for a ghost girlfriend or being a ghost himself. Like,
literally. I'm sorry for not making you my centerfold. He said that to Bonnie when he cheated on her with a ghost.
Yeah. At least he said, I'm sorry. Well, it's so Evermore to be in a relationship with a ghost.
That is so true. And also, he's so, it's time to go. He said, time to go to art school, aka hunt vampires.
My arc is done here.
That old familiar body ache, bitch.
Yeah. Next, let's talk about Matt Donovan. I feel confident. Matt Donovan is debut. He is the self-titled album. I think A Place in This World, Invisible. That album, I think it's easy for people to forget about because it's her first, but it's a fantastic album. So many great songs. Like, it's romantic. It's childlike. It's hopeful, but it's still very like, I don't know who I am. I'm figuring it out. And that's very Matt. He's always figuring himself out.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. I do think it might simplify Matt in a way, but at the end of the day, I think what works about Matt, and again, you know, Matt Donovan, publicly hated character, we're more defenders than most people. I think why Matt is a character who sticks around, stays the test of time, makes it through all these arcs, and survives is like he's a good in for the audience. He's very relatable, but he always feels like he's on the outside of everything. He always feels like he's outvoted and that he's trying to figure out how to like place himself in the world.
Yeah.
And he's not sure.
There's an earnestness to Matt.
Yeah.
That even when he does things wrong, it's like, I know you really thought that was the right call.
He does everything with good intentions.
Yeah. Like, I think A Place in This World is so Matt Donovan. He's just trying to figure it all out.
Also, I think it's so the outside.
Mm-hmm.
How can I ever try to be better if nobody ever lets me in?
Mm-hmm. Let's move to our last Mystic Falls major player, which is Tyler Lockwood. I think this is a layup. It's Fearless.
That, what?
I think he's so fearless because he is so title track of Fearless.
He's Speak Now.
Well, you just want to give the brunette Speak Now.
Maybe I do.
I am hesitant to give too many people Speak Now because I love it so much.
I would say to me, Tyler is more Red or Speak Now. To me, he has, when we meet Tyler, even at the beginning of the series, he already has like darkness in his life. His dad definitely hits him. Like,
yeah.
He attempts rape on episode one. I think he has this like real anger in him, obviously. It's the werewolf thing. And to me, that like anger comes through more in something like Speak Now or Red. And I lean Speak Now because Red has this sadness that I think you could link to Tyler. But I think that some of the, you know, I Knew You Were Trouble 22, that's not very Tyler.
You got me. I do think he is Speak Now.
Mean, he sings that to Klaus.
A Speak Now girly is a fighter. And I think Innocent is so like, I'm trying to forgive what has happened.
Better Than Revenge is so good for Tyler because what's so iconic about Better Than Revenge, what I think is fun about Better Than Revenge, particularly in the rearview mirror, is like, Taylor Swift's not that good at revenge.
it is a little bit like Look What You Made Me Do, and I love Look What You Made Me Do, but at a point you listen to it and you're like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Which is kind of what Better Than Revenge, and that's all love to him.
There's nothing I do better than revenge. It's like, you wrote a song where you said, like, fuck this girl for stealing my boyfriend, and you're right for that, but, like, is it revenge? I don't know. She still stole your boyfriend.
That's, I think, part of the charm of Taylor Swift is, like, the most she does is write a song, and she says that, like, it's writing a song, you're fine. Like, but I think that's really Tyler Lockwood.
So I think that's, so Tyler Lockwood is like, there's nothing I do better than revenge. And it's like, he can't get shit done.
And he's standing in the corner being like, please, someone kill Klaus.
Like, please, someone, please don't kill my mom, Klaus.
Oh, stop, stop.
There's nothing I do better than revenge. And then he doesn't kill Klaus and Klaus fucks his girlfriend. That's so Tyler.
I do think Tyler is very speak now. I think he got me there. He is a lover. He's very mine. But he also is, he's sexy. Sparks Fly is Taylor's horniest song in her first three albums. Until, you know, we got The Vault with I Can See You. But Sparks Fly was as horny as they allowed her to be.
Yeah.
And she ran with it.
And she went there.
I think that's Tyler. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
Even like Speak Now, Tyler is so the type of guy who would interrupt a wedding.
Yeah.
And I mean that with all the love in my heart. I mean, you know we're Tyler Lockwood girls. You could never make me hate him. Just because we're forward non-shippers at this point, you could never make me hate Tyler Lockwood.
Well, that's the thing. When we were in the beginning of Forward, I was loving it.
When I was watching for the first time, oh, the way I was shipping Forward.
Yeah.
And then Claroline happens, and then after Claroline, for me, Staroline happens, and it's like, fuck Forward.
Sorry, you lost. So let's head into some of our less regular characters, the non-Mystic Falls crew overall. Let's start with the originals. And we'll start, of course, with the head honcho himself, Klaus.
Klaus is tricky to me, but go ahead. I want to hear what you say.
I think Klaus is Midnights.
Okay. Okay.
Because you can't deny the anti-hero-ness of it all.
That's true. I think that's probably right. I think you could make an argument for reputation, but I do not think he feels love fully enough for that.
Yeah. I don't think he's been loved enough for that to apply to him.
Yeah, I think you could make an argument for Red, but similarly, I just don't think he feels those emotions about love, you know, or at least for most of his life. I think he feels much more closed off. I think Midnights is the right read. I think you could make the argument for Tortured Poets.
Yes.
But I think he truly sees himself as a tortured poet.
Yeah.
He does not see the irony in that at all. He thinks he's tortured. Midnights, I do think he's always dwelling on his history. And we should say, I mean, obviously, we're recording this during season 8. This is readings of them based on Vampire Diaries, not on the originals. I have watched originals, so I'm trying to keep myself separate. And I'm not saying that Klaus's would change at all, but just so you guys know, we're talking about this with Vampire Diaries hats on.
I do think you can make the argument for Tortured Poets, but I agree with you that I think he would connect to like songs like Cassandra, where it's really like mythology, literature focused. Or like, I think a great Klaus song is The Black Dog. I hope it's shitty at The Black Dog. That is something he would say. But I think the only other argument you can make beside Midnights is potentially Speak Now. But I don't think there's the like fantasy or wonder in him.
I think Speak Now is too optimistic for him. You know what song is so Klaus? And you're going to laugh, but I'm right. Vigilante shit.
Oh, it is. No, it is.
I also think Klaus is so would have, could have, should have. To his father.
Yes. Because I think at the end of the day, Klaus is an anxious, self-conscious boy.
He's so mastermind at the end of the day.
Yeah. Mastermind him being best friends with Stefan.
Because I'm a mastermind. And him manipulating his family. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I think the originals, I think it's so long live. Because they're about their family.
Yes. Always and forever, as they say.
Like, we're a band of thieves in ripped up jeans who've ruled the whole wide world, even though they've never ruled shit, but in their mind.
You know what Klaus loves? Karma.
Ask me why so many fade, but I'm still here.
Ask me what I learned from all those years. Ask me what I earned from all those tears.
Mm-hmm. You're on your own, kid, is very Klaus as well, even though he's on his own by his own choice. But
and honestly, you know what is so Klaus? This is actually so Claroline. Midnight Rain.
I like that for Claroline. You know who I think is the Midnight Rain couple, and you're not going to want to hear this.
You think it's Staroline?
No, it's Bearmy.
Oh, no, they're so Midnight Rain. Why would I care?
Well, because I just thought you wouldn't want a Bearmy mention. You can't stand it.
Well, Midnight Rain is about a couple who, like, is not destined to be together.
Yeah.
And so I'm fine with mentioning Bearmy if it's about how they shouldn't be together.
The other song that is so Claire-aligned to me on Klaus's side, it's different.
Yeah.
Oh, my love is a lie. Shit my friends say to get me by. That's my Claire-aligned song.
Yeah.
I'm not entertaining the midnight rain for Claire-aligned.
She was sunshine, I was midnight rain. He wanted that pain. He was making his own name.
But it hits different. Let's go to Elijah. Now, Elijah, as you might guess, I don't really have a strong opinion on, but I'm sure you have something to say.
To me, Elijah is Midnight's also.
Oh.
Elijah is so vigilante shit-coded because he is so, like, reporting someone to the proper authorities.
And I'm sure there's much more of him on the originals. There's not a ton to work with in Vampire Diaries.
Yes, I think what we see from Elijah is someone, A, who's very guarded, and someone who he has to work to keep a lot of shit together.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to his family, he has a hard time balancing, like, he can never really hate anybody. He tries to be bloodthirsty, and he never will be.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing about Midnight's, is this, like, weakness of, like, dwelling on things in your life is, like, I can never hate this person. Elijah is always looking to be empathetic in every situation. We see it when he's working with them in season two. Like, he is always trying to make everyone happy. He's trying to be like a peacemaker. In a way, I think you could argue there's a couple songs on Folklore that are so Elijah. To me, Peace, so Elijah. Mirrorball 2, This Is Me Trying. So I feel like there's this trying to keep all these spinning plates balanced, trying to stay on top of everything. So maybe he is more Folklore than Midnight's.
With what you're saying, that reads very Lover to me. I think that he's trying to hold his family together. He's anxious about, like, I think you have to read him as a family person based on Vampire Diaries.
Yes. Well, you also have to read him as an honor person.
Yes.
And also, I just think he's closed off. He's very guarded about who he lets in, which is why it's so meaningful how close he and Elena get, how willing he is to deal with Elena, how open he is to talk to Catherine. I don't think he has that kind of openness that Lover does, that vulnerability. But you know what is such a, I forget what their ship name is, but you know what is such an Elijah and Catherine song?
Kalijah,
thank you. Cornelia Street.
Yeah.
I hope I never lose you. I hope it never ends. I'll never walk Cornelia Street again.
One thing about me, I'm a Kalijah shipper.
Don't I know it?
I think they are the perfect couple for each of them.
I see where you get that.
Maybe I'll change on the originals, but I loved them.
I feel like Elijah needs someone more open than Catherine to help him because he's not very open. It's two closed off bitches telling each other exactly. Like Elijah.
We'll get to Catherine in a bit, but I don't think Catherine is as closed off. I think yes and no.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
I think she closes off at first, but I think she opens that door up.
Yeah.
Elijah, it's a wall.
Even when Catherine does open the door up, she's still keeping an illusion of the door is closed.
Yeah.
It's never like, oh, come on in, know all this about me. It's like, come on in, I'll tell you something, but there's things I'll never tell you.
Yeah, here, you can open this first Tupperware, but there is a smaller Tupperware inside that we're not touching right now.
And I'm controlling when you're opening that. But we'll get to Catherine in a second. I know exactly what I want for Catherine.
Let's do Rebecca. I think she's red.
Here's what I will say about Rebecca. Rebecca wants so badly to be 1989.
That's what I put, 1989.
She's not 1989.
I put red 1989. I think when Rebecca is having a good day, she's 1989. But she has had maybe four good days in her life.
That's what I think. Like, Rebecca would self-identify as 1989. She wants to be 1989. She loves 1989.
She wants to be a city girl. She wants to be a modern woman.
And there are things that are very Rebecca about 1989. But at the end of the day, she is up and down. She is not cohesive. That's what's one thing that's so great about her. She is red.
I mean, there's just no other answer. I will say, Rebecca, Slut is her song.
Yes.
I think she would call herself a 1989 girl, but she's red.
That's the thing. I do think there's a lot on 1989 that works for Rebecca, obviously.
It is Rebecca when she's confident as a 1989, but she's just not confident enough to count that. I wish you would, is so Rebecca.
Blank Space, Bad Blood. Actually, maybe she is more 1989 than I thought. I Know Places, Wonderland.
Yeah, I think a lot of them really fit for her, but I just think at the end of the day, she is a girl who is heartbroken most of the time.
Yeah.
But she keeps getting up.
And she's so state of grace in, like, so you were never a saint and we loved in shades of wrong. We learned to live with the pain, Mosaic, Broken Hearts.
Holy Ground is another one for her because I think every relationship she's ever been in, she was like, that was Holy Ground. I found it.
Yeah. And she is like, it was Darling, it was good never looking down. And as soon as she looks down is when it all falls apart.
Yeah. So she's, I mean, she's easy.
I think she's a red 1989 cuspy girl.
But she's not the 1989 hits.
She's not.
She's the 1989 deep cuts.
Yeah.
Let's finish off with two of our favorite villains, the other two K-name villains. Let's start with Kai. Kai, I think, is 1989.
I think you're right.
Because I think he's silly goofy. Like, I think he's, one thing about Kai, he's having fun.
Here's the thing about Kai is that I think Kai wants to believe he has reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But Kai does not have the capacity to love the way reputation asks because he's a sociopath.
He's one of those people that looks at reputation as the aesthetic and is like, that's me. And it's like, that's not what the album is.
Yes. I do think he's so 1989 because he is. There is still this emotion. There's this heartbeat of 1989. There's something about 1989, which I think is great, is that there is this like confidence of going into the world, but there is also like, will this world like accept me? And like,
mm-hmm.
have I actually found my place in this world?
But also like a guardedness of like, I don't want people to know I'm still looking for my place.
Yes. But also like, I mean, if you look at like, I wish you would, all you had to do is stay. It's like, I still feel like I'm having these arguments with people that I still can't figure out. I mean, all you had to do is say is so, he would sing that to Joshua Parker.
Yeah. To anyone. I think he's so like Wonderland, I know places.
I think he is so 1989 because he's just fun.
1989 is her least vulnerable album because it was her biggest shift to pop.
Yeah.
And there are certainly vulnerable pieces in it, but it is like meant to be this like packaged, I've got it. And that's very Kai. He's a confident person.
I know Kai loves Shake It Off.
He does. He's dancing to it because like there are a few people on the show you can envision dancing to Shake It Off. Kai is one.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's end with Catherine. I think, you know, it's easy to just see the immediate temptation to go reputation, but I think that's what she is.
Yes. I was going to say, yes, it's reputation. Because again, as we were saying, when we were talking about Elijah, is Catherine has this like skill to be like, I'm revealing everything to you when she's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of what reputation is this still like selective return to the public eye. And also I think there is like love there. Obviously, Catherine has deep love for both Stefan and Elijah. She always would. But there's still a lot of like getaway car.
Yeah. Think about the place where you first met me.
Put the money in the bag and I stole the key. That was the last time you ever saw me. I mean, it is like sometimes the obvious answer is the right one.
Yeah. At first I was thinking reputation. I was like, no, am I just thinking that because it's the snake, it's the black? But she is, because she is like, much as she hides it, she has this deep, deep love for Stefan that she's always hoping will work out. But also recognizing that like the Tom Hiddleston of it all, that she's like, I'm not good here. Get me out of here. But Dress, another sexy, sexy song.
Dress, I mean, Ready for It.
This is why we can't have nice things. Like that she's like, no, we're cutting the cord. I'm in charge of my destiny, essentially.
Even like Endgame, that's like her song for her and Stefan.
Yeah.
You mean we got big reputations.
That's the one that she has her fanfic in her head.
Don't Blame Me, Love Made Me Crazy. Dancing with Her Hands Tied. That is so her, like, with Stefan in 1864.
Delicate is so her.
Yes.
That she's, like, always just trying to hold on to people who, like, you know, she's holding on to Stefan as she's losing him to Elena, and she knows she's losing him to Elena, and she's trying to cover that up with anger, with, like, look what you made me do. But at the end of the day, like, she's singing Gorgeous about Stefan.
Oh, yeah. She's just that simple.
Like, that one's easy.
That brings us to the end of this mini-sode. Thank you, Swifties, and perhaps non-Swifties, for joining us.
And thank you, Taylor Swift, for giving us something that we want to talk about this much, and for writing albums that truly do cover the range of emotion on the Vampire Diaries.
So true. And as always, if you guys have topics you'd like us to discuss in a mini-sode, feel free to message us on Instagram or just make your voice heard. We're always happy to take suggestions and just talk for a while about whatever we like.
We love to talk, obviously. That's why we started a podcast.
Till next time, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.